Hello, and welcome to the Reach or Miss Show, the podcast for the customer-focused entrepreneur, where Hayut Yogev speaks with entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs about reaching or missing the critical point of approaching the right customer with the right message at the right time and place. The point where business success starts. And here is your host, Hayut Yogev.
Reach or Miss, Episode 56. Gordon Trashgold has worked for over 25 years in senior leadership positions, successfully delivering $100 million projects, running $300 million departments, and leading staff teams of thousands. He has helped companies reduce costs by $350 million, increase performance by 50 to 500%, and help entrepreneurs triple their revenue in just 12 months. Now, Gordon speaks, writes, and consults on leadership and business. He has written 3 books, over 1,200 articles. He contributes to Entrepreneur, Inc. magazine, Business Insider, Fortune, and Addicted to Success. And he is also a visiting professor at Staffordshire University in the UK. Gordon Trashgold, what a pleasure to have you here. Hey!
Hey, thank you very much, Hayut. It's my pleasure.
It's so great, and I'm so excited towards this conversation because I read some very interesting things about you. And I just shared with our audience what you've done until now, and I would like to ask you to share with us, what are you doing today and most passionate about, and where are you heading?
So what am I most passionate about? The thing I'm most passionate about, and it's good for business and it's not great for business. The thing I'm most passionate about is helping people. And I think that everybody is capable of doing so much more. And we have a lot of people that, you know, work with mindset and try to, we can't outperform our own self-image. So we have to have that right self-image, that right belief. But I think the best belief comes when you have a plan that you understand and you can believe in. And I have a background in mathematics. I've run large programs. I've run large projects. I've worked in IT. So I'm very good at planning and solutioning. And I've led teams of 1,000 people on $100 million projects. And what I found is that when people believe in the plan, they become excited and they achieve amazing results. So this is what my passion is. It's about working with people and helping them create plans that they believe in and then achieving and exceeding their potential.
Do you see yourself as a coach or a consultant today?
Yeah, I don't like the word coach for myself because I think there are some definitions of coach that are standard definitions. You know, real coaches, they say it's not a coach's job to give people the answer. We have to help people pull it from within. Well, that's not the kind of coach that I am. I'm more of an advisor, a sounding board, support. If I work with somebody, I get involved in their business. And if I see, don't do it that way, do it this way, I will give them that advice. So it's a little bit more coaching, consulting than that true, pure coaching of everybody has the answer inside them and we just need to help them pull it out. Yeah, maybe, but sometimes we actually know the answer and why not tell them? So for me, I share my experiences, my advice, my tips, tools that I use, and I look to try and accelerate their growth in the best way I can. I've got one client who I was working with last year, and they were doing around $200,000 in revenue, and we increased that by around 120% in the first year. So they did nearly $500,000, and this year, we've just put 2 pitches out, one for $1.4 million and one for $2.5 million. So that's a huge growth. And I wouldn't say that I've worked with her to help her better understand her business, better price it, better pitch it, and then be more successful in delivering it. So that's the kind of thing I like to do. I also work with companies. I'm going to be working with a company in California next week. I'm going to be working with a company in California in the May 2nd and 3rd. and that's working with their leadership team and helping them to have a good leadership mindset so they can engage their teams. But again, that all comes to that core principle of give people a plan they can believe in.
I want to ask you something, because I am a great believer in plans. However, you talked about a plan that you believe in. Mm-hmm. And coming from the world of marketing, marketing is everything that has to do with looking at things and understanding things from the point of view of your customer. Obviously, because the money you want is in their pocket.
Mm-hmm.
So many times I find people that believe in their plans really, really, really with full hearted, but it's not what their customers need. So, and you didn't talk about it at all. You talked about believing in that, but it's all about understanding how the people that we want to serve or sell will react. What is the opportunity?
Yeah, so this is, we were talking about this before, and it's great to have a plan, but if you've got the right plan for the wrong goal, you're going to fail. And what we were talking about is, at the start, is, you know, did I have a process that I used? And I have a process called FAST that I've developed, that I've used over 25 years working, turning around projects. And a lot of it comes from understanding what causes things to fail, and then looking at making sure we avoid those things. And excuse me, the F of FAST is about focus. What's our goal? What's our objective? What does success look like? Are we focused on the right things? Because if you're not focused on the right thing, then you're going to fail. And if you've got a product that nobody wants, then you're focused on the wrong thing. 40% of startups that fail because they have a product that nobody wants. So we need to make sure we do the marketing. And once we're sure that our target is the right target, once we're sure that we've got a product, we've got a way to sell that product, then we need to put a plan in place of how we're going to achieve it. And a lot of times people don't have that plan, or they go wishy-washy. Mm-hmm. I worked with one client and they said to me, our goal is to double our revenue in 2 to 4 years. And I said, okay. And they said, what do you think? And I said, that's not a goal. Doubling it in 4 years is a goal. Doubling it in 2 years is a goal. Because if you pick 4 years, we can put a plan to do that. If you pick 2 years, we can put a plan in place to do that. If you say 2 to 4, what's our plan? How will we know whether we're on track? And I'm not going to tell somebody, oh, you have to do it in 2 years. Just pick one. Because if we're going to do it in 4 years, then we need to increase our revenue by 25% every year. And we can plan in place for that. If we're going to double it in 2 years, now we have to increase by 50%. And if you don't do that, you're just setting yourself up for failure, and you're setting yourself up for disappointment. Because a lot of times we need that positive feedback that we're doing a good job. So if you decide that you're going to double it in 4 years, and at the end of the first year you've increased it by 25%, now you can celebrate. But if you don't know it's 4 years, then you're looking at that: is this good? Is it bad? Can I give myself a pat on the back? It doesn't work. So you need to have that clarity of goal and objective. So a lot of times with clients, that's the first thing I have to do. Work with them to help them understand the goal and objective.
This fact of 42% entrepreneurs that say the main reason they failed is there wasn't a market need, most of the time is not about not having a market need. It's about approaching the wrong market or the wrong customers, or
correct,
not knowing how to explain something that doesn't exist yet, which is a challenge. However, it's not about the market need. I want to ask you, who are your customers? Who are those people that you help? And how did you figure out who should you work with? Who should be your customers?
So this is an area I've actually struggled with, because I have three groups that I can work with and help. I can work with corporations to help them put in the right leadership and then drive the projects forward. I can work with entrepreneurs to help them with their businesses. And I can also, I love leadership and I think it's important. And I like to work with young leaders and help them develop as leaders. But that's three different products to three different groups. So you've nine mm-hmm. possible combinations. And if you're not clear about the offering for each group, you create confusion, and confused customers go elsewhere.
Hmm.
You have to make it simple. So that's the S of FAST. You've got to make it simple. I had one client that I worked with, and we increased their revenue by 300% in 12 months. And we actually saw them treble the first quarter's results in the first quarter. And the challenge they had was they had five different services, so they created five different companies because they thought it would be easy for their customers. If you know what you want, then go to the right company. But what happened was these product lines, and it was to do with marketing, influencers, you know, some of their clients were media celebrities. And the problem was these five services had a little bit of blurring. And unless you were an expert, you didn't know
where to go,
need to approach. So you've now got five doors. Which one do you go through? So what we did was we changed it around. We made it one company that had five offerings. So now tell me what you want and I'll help you pick the right offering. And when we did that, we trebled their revenue in 3 months.
Are you going with these three groups of customers, or did you choose one?
So I've just released an Udemy course for young leaders doing how to build influence and become a great leader. I've just launched that. And I'm actually working with a couple of entrepreneurs, and I'm going to be working with a corporation next week. So one of the worst things about being a coach is not following your own advice. Not saying that the cobbler has the worst shoes in town. I feel that saying was made for me. So I'm great at telling other people what they should do. But I sometimes struggle to do it myself. And part of that is because I want to help all three groups. And really, I should just pick one. And the challenge with that is that corporations, you know, I can get paid 10, 20,000 for one day's work. With an entrepreneur, when I work with them, I can get paid that kind of money, but that's over a three to six month period.
Yeah.
So one has a higher return, but it's harder work to get. So, and it is two different markets that require two different sets of marketing. But I love working. I like working with companies because you can have a big impact. But I also like working with entrepreneurs because, you know, in your business now, if we sit down, we can have a strategy session, and then you can decide Monday, okay, let's do it. Whereas with a corporation,
it will take a year.
Yeah, next Monday is 2019, and it has to go through 19 committees who take a brilliant plan and water it down over time. I did some work with a university, and the staff had five departments, so, you know, like business, arts, languages, sciences, and each department had five goals. So overall, there were 25 goals. Wow. That was my first paid professional speaking gig, and they asked me to come in and work with them. So I asked them to send me the 25 goals. And as I started to read through them, they made no sense.
I
could understand each department's goal, but I couldn't understand how this joined up and moved the university forward, because some of the goals looked like they were competing. So when I did the workshop with them, I said, okay, I've looked at your goals. You've got 25, and I advocate no more than three. And if you're an entrepreneur, you should have one goal, and that should be a financial goal. I might allow a second if you want to break into another market, but really it's about making money. So what's our fiscal goal that we're trying to achieve? And once you've got that, you can move forward. And with these, I said, you know, the goals make no sense. And they said to me, are you suggesting we have one goal? And I said, yes. And if it was, what would it be? And the five heads of departments all said in unison, we're in the top 50 universities in the UK. So I wrote that down and I said, does everybody agree with that? And they all went, yeah, yeah, massive. Do you understand how you could do that? Yeah, absolutely. We'd have to be doing this. And they started strategizing. They became excited and invigorated because the five goals, they couldn't see how it was going to benefit the university. They were just arbitrary. But when they had that one goal, they became alive, they became excited, and we talked about it. And one person said, if we go with this goal, I'll have to drop two of mine because they're actually preventing us from becoming in the top 50. Would you be okay with that?
I want to ask you, this podcast is all about customers and customer focus, because somehow, especially in entrepreneurship, a lot of times it's the missing part of the puzzle. And I want to ask you, what would be your best advice for entrepreneurs and startup founders regarding the customer focus or approaching their customers?
And I've got a story that I'll tell you that goes with this as well. And it's something that I struggled with at the start because I'm not really a salesperson. And this time last year, I did a 3,000 cold call challenge where in 1 month I did 3,000 cold calls. And what I found when I did that was that I wasn't exactly sure what it was I was offering. I wasn't exactly sure how I was going to do it. And I wasn't exactly sure what the benefits were going to be for the customer, which makes it very difficult. And part of my mental problem was, this is my business. And I think we have to think of it as our customer's business. So it's their business. It's not our business. It's their business. And we need to look at connecting with our customers. A lot of people think that the sales cycle is contact, communicate, close. And it's more connect, converse, and convert. So, you know, make a connection with them. Find out what interests them. That saying of people only buy from people who they know, like, and trust. If you're just sending out a generic pitch, you're just showing them that you don't know who they are. And you're not going to make that connection. That's just a contact. And if you've only got a contact, your chance of closing that is pretty much nil, unless they're desperate, you know, unless you're selling blood and they're bleeding to death at that moment, that's not going to work. So we need to pitch fewer companies, but with a pitch that's tailored for them. And I did this last week. So again, you know, looking at my fast approach, okay, I decided that I wanted to do a TEDx talk. Yeah. So I'm now pitching people. And so what I did was I wanted to make sure, you know, focus on the right customer. So I looked at TED Talks that were going to happen 7 months' time, because I thought they won't have a list of speakers. They'll be looking. So there's no point in applying to one that's next week because they're probably done. So, you know, give myself that opportunity. So find people that are 6 to 7 months out. And I looked at them. Then I spent a good 30 minutes researching each of the organizers to find out the theme of the talk, what their passion was. Because I'd read an article that said 90% of people who apply for TEDx talks get rejected because, one, it's all about them, not the audience. Two, they pitch a talk, you know, I want to talk about diversity and inclusion. Mm. Yeah, but this is a tech conference. So it's the wrong talk for the wrong audience. And then the other reason why it fails is people say, tell me what you want to talk about. I'm desperate to talk. So again, it's about them. You're not bringing value. So I found 9 conferences that were 6 months out. I did the research. And on one of them, the person was passionate about inspiring change and helping businesses and entrepreneurs. So immediately I thought, okay, I have a connection right here. So again, with the A of FAST is accountability. So I made it about that person. I wrote and I said, I love what you do. I love your talks. I've seen a few of the talks. It's great that you have this desire to inspire people and drive change and make a difference in the world. And I have that exact same passion. So now I'm making the connection. And then I said, simplicity of FAST, TED Talks are 18 minutes. So I needed to write a pitch that was going to get my message across in 4 or 5 lines. If I need 4 pages, I'm not going to be able to do an 18-minute talk. I've got to show that I can communicate short messages, clear, and value. So I said, I'd love to come and talk at your audience, and I've got a talk on inspiring change and helping people develop the right mindset. I've got this, it'll be a new talk that I've built for you, and it's called, it's about achieving goals, and it's going to be about aim high, start small, celebrate, and keep going. And it's an approach to get people to dream big, but start where you are with what you've got. Take small steps, generate some early success, and I think this will be beneficial.
Oh.
He replied to me within 7 hours. We set up a phone call. Oh, and by the way, I also said that I know your audience and your event is in France, and I do speak French, so I could offer to do it in French. So I was trying to make it as easy as possible for him. Mm. Do not give your potential customers your problems. And I saw the times where people say, oh, I can only take payment via PayPal. Don't do that. Find a way to take money any way you can off your customers. If you make it difficult to do business, they will go elsewhere. So anyway, he wrote back to me in French and said, I'd love to have a conversation with you today. Can you do that? And I was booked, and I said, no, but I could do tomorrow. And I had the conversation. We spoke in French, and he said, fine, you're booked. So within 42 hours of approaching the right customer with a tailored message for them that added value for them and their audience, I closed the deal within 42 hours.
Wow. We are going to talk about your successes, and I know you have a lot, but I want to ask you to share with us your biggest, most critical failure with customers, the one that affected your entrepreneurial journey or your journey the most.
I think it was this time last year when I did the 3,000 cold call challenge, and I wasn't clear about who my customers were, how I was going to sell to them, or what I was going to offer. And I spent a lot of time producing material and waiting for customers to come to me. And there's been surveys that have been done that show the number one determining factor whether you will be successful or not is the ability to speak up, to ask. And I wasn't asking. And not only was I not asking, I didn't know who to ask or what to ask for.
Okay, you just gave my whole pitch of this whole podcast, so great, bye. I mean, I love it, because when a successful person with such a vast experience talk about mistakes, about how to approach customers, and we all do that. I do it myself, although I know as a marketing person that we don't know. We have to ask, we never No, we have to find out where is the biggest opportunity, what our customers want. And I love this example so much.
Well, another mistake I made was I listened to other people who said, no, you need to be telling them what. You give away the what for free, and then you sell the how. And I'm somebody who likes to help people. And what I found was I started to convert more conversations with customers. So I had a pitch call on Monday, and I spent 90 minutes giving them free value. And at the end of that 90 minutes, if they'd have said to me, wow, thank you for this, I have enough, I don't need to work with you, I would have been not happy, but I wouldn't have been disappointed, because I want to give value. And I know that I have more value to offer. So I try to blow people away with how I help them with their business, so that they say to me, wow, this guy knows a lot. I need to work with him. And a lot of people said, no, don't give it away. You know, hold back. Just sell your best stuff. Well, actually, I can't tell you what my best stuff is until I know what your business does.
Right. And you won't tell me what your business does until you really believe that I have something to give you. So that's exactly what you did. And I want to ask you to share your biggest success due to the right customer approach.
Well, I would say that closing the TED Talk within 42 hours. It was the best, a great example of what you can do. Biggest success.
First of all, I do agree. I think it's a huge success, and there are so many communities and Facebook groups talking about these TED Talks and how to get it and how to manage to be booked. And you did it. You did exactly the opposite of the 3,000 cold calls. Yeah. You just did a very warm call for something they really needed.
Yeah, I made a cold call, a warm call, by connecting, by talking about their passion, not mine, and then mentioning it was my, their passion was mine as well. I think it's hard to know the biggest success. I think when I started writing on leadership, I think after 2 years, so I wasn't a writer. I'd been told all my life I couldn't write. My English, I'm a graduate of mathematics, and my English teacher told me, I'm glad you're good at math because your English sucks. And yet within 2 years of writing, I was selected by Inc. magazine as one of the top 100 leadership experts in the world.
Wow.
And my name was on the same list as Bill Gates, Stephen Covey, all of the, you know, John Maxwell, Ken Blanchard, all of these people. And, you know, I often say you have to be clear about your goal, but that wasn't a goal of mine because I didn't know that list existed. Hmm. I was just giving out value for free and building an audience. And then the next thing, I just got an email saying, you've been selected to be in this top 100 list worldwide. And to be in the top 100 of anything worldwide is difficult to do. And in a field as competitive as leadership, now, I wouldn't say it's brought me. I thought, you know, again, another mistake was to do that and to think you've arrived, but you haven't. You just got some credibility. You still need to go out and sell. No sales, no business. It's as simple as that. And I thought the business would start coming to me. And I did a talk in March of last year, and the company, 500 people in Orlando, and I did a talk on it was at the Operational Business Transformational and Operational Excellence World Forum. They had people like the Chief Innovation Officer of NASA, Head of Operational Excellence for Toyota and Walmart, BMW, and I was the penultimate speaker speaking on FAST. And at the end of that, about 6 weeks after, I got an email from a company asking me where could they buy 6 copies of my book. So I phoned them. I was in the middle of that cold call challenge, and I write back and I thought, pick up the phone, just pick up the. So I picked up the phone and said, "Hey, yep, Gordon here. Give me your address. I'll send you the books. I'll sign them if you want." And they said, "Brilliant. That will be fantastic." And then they said something to me that stunned me. They said, if you're ever in the area, we'd love to talk to you about doing business with us. And they could have written that in the email, but they didn't. So I speak with them, and I pitched them $20,000 worth of business. But if I'd have not picked the phone up, that opportunity would never have come to me. Mm. And that was people that had seen me speak. When I went and saw them, they said, "We loved you. We thought you were fantastic." Yet I had to call them. So no matter how good a product you think you have, we still need to reach out to clients. And part of the challenge was they thought that I would be too busy to want to work with them.
Hmm.
You know, it's that beautiful woman that never gets asked out.
yeah.
It's that kind of thing. So we have to ask, be clear about what you want, be clear about the offering that you have, be clear about making it personal to them, but then ask, go out and ask. If you don't do that, you're leaving business on the table.
That's right. And I would like to ask you, you mentioned a few times your FAST process, mm-hmm. and I really think it will be great to understand in a short description what this FAST is. How does it work?
So FAST is a process I developed by understanding failure and what the causes of it were. And I found that things fail for 4 reasons: a lack of focus, a lack of accountability, a lack of simplicity, and a lack of transparency. And these things are fundamental. Focus is what? What's our goal? What's our objective? What's our product? What's our customer? And if we're not clear about our what, then we can't really focus on the other things, which are accountability, which is the who, simplicity, which is the how, and then transparency, which is how far do we have to go and how are we doing? And we need to understand these very fundamental basic things. Accountability. Who's going to make the sale? Who's important for our business? The simplicity. How? How are we going to be successful? The number of people who say to me, oh, I want to generate $1 million in business next year. Great. What products do you have? Oh, I've got one of these. They cost me $1,000 each. Okay. So if you want to make $1 million, you need to sell 1,000 of them in a year. Yeah. So that's 200 a week. Sorry, 200 a week. That would be 40 a day. How did we do today? You need to have that plan. You know, you need to know if you want to make $100 and you're selling things at $10 each, you need to sell 10 of them. And a lot of people have that, I want to make $100, but they've no clue how they're going to do it. And one of the clients that I worked with last year, where we doubled her business, when she said, I want to make $500,000, we put down all of her products, we put down what the sales were, and we were 50% short. And she said, I don't know what to do. And I said, well, you've only got two options. Double your price, sell twice as much. And she said, what do you think about my prices? I said, I think it's cheap. So we doubled the price and we met the $500,000.
Wow.
So you need to be able to look at that and answer those questions. Can the market bear doubling the price? If it can, then double the price. But if you don't have a plan to get to $1 million, it's not going to happen by chance. And that's what the FAST process is. And if your audience wants, I've given a link to the book. I've also got a spreadsheet, two spreadsheets that I use, one which is called FAST Business Planning, which it's made simple. So you just fill it in. And on that, you put the focus, how much money do you want to generate? It then asks you about the simplicity. What are your products and the pricing? Then there's a how many are you going to sell? And then it will tell you whether you're going to hit your financial target. And then there's another tab where you can put in how you're doing to have that visibility, that transparency into performance. And I have a video that I could probably dig out that I could send to go with that. And then I have another spreadsheet, which is, are you running a business or a hobby? Which asks you 20 questions. And if you answer them honestly, it will tell you whether you've got a viable business or whether it's a hobby. And a lot of people have hobbies.
Well, I think it's, first of all, of course, we want that. And I really think it can help. And I want to ask you if you have any recommendation about a tool that you use in terms of reaching or working with customers. So marketing and sales. And the reason I ask that is there are so many, many, many tools all the time. And I'm trying to figure out for our audience, what is or what are the tools that those successful entrepreneurs and those successful business people that I talk with really use?
So I think it depends what you want to use. So for me, I use a couple of tools that have helped me build a following of 200,000 on Twitter. I could talk about those tools. I've used some other tools to build Instagram following. But I think the tool that impresses me the most at the moment, and I have tools that I use for tweeting, Social Jukebox. It's a great tool for tweeting out content. But one tool that I'm using now, and I have a couple of clients where I've used it and helped them add 1,000 connections per month on LinkedIn. Wow. It's a tool called Linked Helper, LinkedHelper, and then helper.com. And that tool is free for 2 weeks, and then it's $99 for the year. But it allows you to go in and run a search in LinkedIn. So for me, some of the clients that I'm looking for, HR professionals with the SHRM qualification. So I can do a search on all my second and third level connections that have that qualification. It will put them into a file for me. And then I can say, send this message. Hi, we both share a passion for people development and I'd love to have you in my network. I can create that message and then it will send that message to 100 of those people per day. And that allows me to create 1,000 connections a month on LinkedIn with my niche customers. It will also allow you to send messages to them. So for a lot of these, I've sent them a free copy of my book with a download that allows me to get their email address. You know, so it allows me to give value. And then, you know, when I want to go and I'm in California, I can then go and look at those contacts and see which of those are in California and say, hey, I'm going to be in California. If you'd like me to come and speak, I can give you a discounted rate because I'll be in the area. So it's a helper.
We will have the link on the show notes, of course, and it sounds like a great tool.
Yes. And it's cheap. It's $99 for the year. In terms of value for money, it is phenomenal. And easy.
It sounds like that,
easy to use, very easy to use.
You know, there are many factors that affect success. But I believe that there is always one factor that really made it for us. And I want to ask you, what is your one factor that helped you to succeed again and again? And what is your key success factor?
So FAST is four factors that will help you be successful. But I do like that. But I think fundamentally, there's a study, as I mentioned, that's been done that shows that the number one determinant or differentiator between people who are successful and not successful is the ability to speak up. And I think that ties into starting. So, you know, when I started writing, I didn't think I was any good at writing, but I didn't let that stop me. I decided to give it a go. And now I'm going to get my first article. I've had a few small pieces. I'm going to get my first full article in Forbes next week. I've written for Inc. I've written for Entrepreneur because I decided to try. I decided to give it a go. And I think that's the secret to success that I think everybody needs to have a try. I mean, I tell you, am I the greatest writer in the world? No. I make spelling mistakes. I have grammar mistakes. And yet my book was a finalist in the final five for Management Book of the Year because I liked what I said. And, you know, you can always get people to correct spelling and grammar and these things. So give it a go. Sorry, the only thing worse than failure is the regret of not having tried.
Right.
And, you know, have I failed at lots of stuff? Absolutely. Will I fail at more stuff? Absolutely. But that doesn't sting as much as regret. You know, I approached a TED Talk and 42 hours later, I had a TED Talk. People said to me, are you happy? I am, but I'm slapping myself that I didn't do that 3 years ago. Why didn't I? And it was because, you know, part of it was I lacked a little bit of the belief because I didn't think I had I didn't have the approach worked out. Once I came up with the approach, I thought, okay, yeah, that'll work. And I went with it. So people, go and try it. Give it a shot. You and I talked earlier about the film L'Ascension, The Climb, about the guy who lived in Paris, had never done anything other than walk up a flight of stairs and went and climbed Mount Everest at his first attempt. Now, that we have to remember, a lot of people die climbing Mount Everest.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean we shouldn't try things. And the recipe for success is aim high, start small, celebrate your success and keep going. And when I wrote my first blog, I did not know that I would be in Inc. I did not know that I would be in Forbes. I didn't know that I would be in the top 100 leadership experts in the world. And that really wasn't I wanted to be recognized for leadership, but it was the starting and then just building and slowly doing things that makes a huge difference. So don't have the regret of not having tried, because I tell you, that will hurt more than any failure that you will have as an entrepreneur.
You know, without going to the journey, nothing will happen.
No.
When you are going there, you might fail sometimes, but something will happen. And I want to ask you, before we say goodbye, I want to ask you my mountain question. This whole issue of marketing and being able to serve and to sell and to profit is all about taking ownership of a perception in the mind of the customers. And I always imagine that as climbing mountain after mountain.
Yeah.
And I want to ask you whether you ever climbed a mountain or wish to climb a mountain, or do you have any plans of climbing a mountain? In other words, do you have any relationships with mountain in your world?
So are you asking me about
physical mountains? Physical mountains. Did you ever plan or climbed a physical mountain?
No, I didn't. But I've done metaphorical ones where at the age of 52, I decided I wanted to run a marathon in 6 months, never having run 5 miles. That was a mountain for me. That was a personal mountain.
We'll take that as a mountain. We'll take that as a mountain. Did you do that?
I've run 10. Yeah, you know, but it's about building belief. I had a plan that I believed in. My two best friends told me, you're too fat, too old, too unfit. I told them my plan and they went, we'll do it with you. So we've run those. And my big mountain now is one of my favorite leadership authors is Stephen Covey. And he passed 5-10 years ago. And I don't think anybody has taken his place as one of the leading leadership experts, and my mountain is to be is to fill that void, to take Stephen Covey's mantle in terms of leadership expertise, and for millennials and for the 21st century.
Wow, this is a hell of a mountain. I love that, and it's a high one. But I'm sure you're gonna have a plan to do that, and you will do that. I know. I just want to ask you, what is the best way to contact you and to connect with you for any one of our listeners that want to be in touch?
So I'm very fortunate in that I'm the only Gordon Treadgold in the entire So if you Google Gordon Treadgold, everything you find will be me, and you can find my website. It's gordontreadgold.com. You can email me at gordon@gordontreadgold.com. You can search for me on LinkedIn and connect there. On Twitter, I'm at Gordon Treadgold. I'm very easy to find.
That's great. And Gordon, I want to thank you so much. It has been such a pleasure talking with you and so interesting. Thank you. I really liked it.
It's my pleasure as well. I love to speak with people who are passionate about the same thing, because it allows us to encourage each other and show the passion and energy and the potential of what people can do. We can all do so much more.
So much more. I do agree with you. And
I'm writing for Forbes, and 5 years ago, if you'd have told me that, I would have said you needed to check yourself into a mental facility. And yet here I am doing it. And I'm not a great writer. Please just go out and whatever it is you want to do, give it a shot. Give it a shot. Give it a shot with passion, energy, desire. Create a plan and you never know.
Wow, I love that. And thank you and bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Rich or Miss? Episode 56. Gordon Treadgold has worked for over 25 years in senior leadership positions, successfully delivering $100 million projects, running $300 million departments, and leading staff teams of thousands. He has helped companies reduce costs by $350 million, increase performance by 50 to 500%, and help entrepreneurs triple their revenue in just 12 months. Now, Gordon speaks, writes, and consults on leadership and business. He has written 3 books, over 1,200 articles. He contributes to Entrepreneur, Inc. magazine, Business Insider, Fortune, and Addicted to Success. And he is also a visiting professor at Staffordshire University in the UK. And for you, our listeners, until the next time, It all goes down to this. You either reach or miss. Keep reaching your goals and vision. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Reach or Miss Show, the podcast for the customer-focused entrepreneur. You can find all the information, links, and resources that was mentioned at the show in our website, reachormiss.com. See you next week.